Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Iruvin Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Chof, but before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Chotzer Shenichnas Lebein HaPasim. We will take advantage of our Pirush Chai Book of Illustrations, the Pirush Chai authored by Rav Chaim Porush. You can see illustration 18 on page 44. You can see a courtyard that opens into the Pasei Biros area. You can see the pit featured with the corners, the right angles forming the enclosure for the passe, for the well. So, using that as our reference point, what is the din about such a chotzer that opens into the passe biros area? Ma'u l'taltel me'a chotzer l'bein ha'pasim? Can one carry on Shabbos from the courtyard into the area enclosed by the pasin? Another question will be Shnei Chatzeros Mahu. That can be seen in illustration number 19 at the top of page 45. There you see two courtyards. In that illustration, the courtyards themselves don't open into one another. In other words, it would be impossible in 19 to make an Eruv Chatzeros to join the courtyards between themselves because there is no passageway between the courtyards per se. However, they both open into the area contained within the right angles, the Pasei Biros. A sugya like this, if you are a first-time listener, might pose some difficulty because there's a great amount of background necessary before understanding the issues here. One of the main points concerns the rabbinic prohibition of carrying from one courtyard to another unless an Eruv Chatzeros is made, where they join together in the ownership of some food, making it a singular entity. We are going to continue, though, in the Gemara, hoping that you are familiar with the background. Bo mine abaye me rabo. Chotzer sherosha Nichnas Lebena Pasim. So Abaye asks of Rabba. The Bowtie is a continuation of the series of questions we have already started in our previous shiur. Abaye asking Rabba, in this case, what is the din of a chotzer, as is featured in illustration 18, that opens into an area between pasim. Ma'u l'taltel mitocha l'beina pasim, l'beina pasim l'tocha. Can one carry from the chotzer to the area enclosed in the pasim, and vice versa? Omar le, muter. So Rabba answers, it is allowed. The Rashi at the top says, Omar le, muter. Deha leko diurin beina pasim, deleisru alaihu. There aren't any dwellers in the area between the corners forming the pasim biros, so which would have otherwise posed a problem of carrying from one ownership into another ownership. When we say ownership, we're referring to a place where there are dwellers, residents, but people don't live between the Pasei Biros, so that it doesn't represent an area of dwelling or an area of residency. Therefore, carrying from the Chotzer to such an area is okay. Question, Shtayim Mai. The illustration 19 is helpful over here. Two Chatzeros next to one another with a wall between them, and the Chatzeros open into the area between the Pasim. So on this, Omar Le, Rabba answers Osir. It's Osir to carry from the Chatzer
to the area between them. Now this will be explained as we go on in the Gemara. There is a Mivneh heading, which emphasizes the double underline, which shows on the side of the Gemara, Shtei Tshuvos L'She'elo Shel Shnei Chatzeros. These are two Hesberim, we should say, to the question of the two Chatzeros. So the first hesber, the first explanation, Omar Rav Huna, Shtayim Asurin Vafilu Irvu. The case of two chatzeros opening into an area bein pasim, it will be forbidden to carry from the chatzir to the area between the pasim, even if they made an eruv. Now there's an illustration 20 where you see an opening in the wall between the two chatzeros, enabling them to have made an Eruv Chatzeros. Rav Huna is saying that even if they made an Eruv Chatzeros, it will be also to carry from the Chatzeros into the Bein HaPasim area. Why? Gzeira Shemo Yomru Eruv Mo'il LeBein HaPasim. Because if they see you carrying people will, from the Chotzer into the area of Bein HaPasim, people will think then an Eruv Chatzeros can be made between two courtyards, even in illustration 19, and the, we'll say the passageway would be the point of connection would be the area called Bein HaPasim. And we don't want people to come to think that. Rava, on the other hand, Omar, Irvu Mutter, that if in illustration 20, they happen to have made an Eruv, then we allow carrying from the Chatzeros to the area Bein HaPasim. The fact that they made an Eruv makes them one joint ownership, so we don't have the issue we featured before of multiple residencies. And as far as the Gezeira is concerned, that Rav Huna referred to, that we don't concern ourselves with. Now, what we'll do is we're going to look at Rashi, who gives a great deal more background. Rashi on the fourth line from the top, Vafilu Irvu, this is on Rav Huna, who said, when the two Chatzeros open to the area, Bein HaPasim, as was featured in illustration 20, you cannot carry. So he says, Rashi says, Vafilu Irvu, Derech HaPesach Shebemechitza Shebeinayim, even if they made an Eruv, relying on the entranceway in the wall between the two chatzeros, the hashtochado ninu, true, right now they are like one entity, fellow as ron ahadodi, and they don't impose any restrictions one on the other. Nevertheless, asuros letautil mitochon lebein apasim, it's forbidden to carry from those chatzeros any items to the area enclosed by the pasim. Gzeiro shemo yomru, people might say, eruv mo'il bein hapasim. L'shatef chatzeros yachad. People will think that the fact that chatzeros open to such areas as Bein HaPasim, an Eruv helps even in those cases. We pointed out that the Eruv is effective only because we have illustration 20, not 19. But onlookers who see carrying from a twin chotzer situation into the area of Bein HaPasim, they'll think that under all circumstances, an Eruv, even with a solid wall between the two chatzeros, will be an effective Eruv. Shalroya oisin metaltalin mitochon lebein apasim, someone who sees carrying from the chatzeros to the area between, enclosed in the pasim, lo yodad the yesh pesach beinam, he is not aware, the passerby is not aware that there is an actual door or opening between the two chatzeros, as is illustrated in 20. V'sovar, hi, delo asrana dodi, besoch bein apasim. People will think that the two chatzeros don't impose prohibition one on the other, since they open to an area bein apasim. Kishar, shtei chatzeros apsuchos lemovui echod, like is the case with other chatzeros that open to a common alley. She'osu lahotzi lemovui elim kein nishtatfu, where it's also to carry in a case of courtyards opening to an alleyway unless they had joined up. Hachinami, Mishum denosnu eruvon beina pasim l'shate keshituv shar movui. Here too, people will think that since they put their joint food in the area between enclosed in the pasim to join up, it works like the joining of courtyards that open into an alleyway. The osu v'mishrinami lahachnusu lahotzi mibein hapasim lechatzeros ki leko pesach beinahem. People will then come to think that in that you can carry from chatzeros from one chotzer to the other, even if there is no opening between them. V'yavi eruv ba'achas hachatzeros derech bein hapasim, and they'll place the food that joins them together in one of the chatzeros, viewing the fact that they can get from one to the other through going through the Bein HaPasim area, is in 19. Vahu vaday lo mahani. That certainly does not work. The chitakinu rabbonan shitufei mevuos. When the rabbonan established the idea of shituf mevuos, of joining together in a common alleyway, that's b'movui sosum tikun. They made it when you have courtyards that open into an alleyway that has a back wall to it, that it's closed. It's not a thoroughfare. It's a three-sided enclosed alley. The orko yosa rochbo, and the length is greater than the width. Vizeh, and as opposed to the case of the pasi biros, mefulosh larbot dodim, it's open on all four sides. So that we, according to Rav Huna, don't want people to come to confusing things. Rava, on the other hand, says we can allow what you see in picture 20 because they made an actual Eruv Chatzeros, and therefore they can carry from their Chatzeros to the area between in the Pasim because they joined to form a singular entity. And I, says Rava, am not concerned that people will confuse 20 with what you saw illustrated in 19. Rav Huna, on the other hand, was saying that if we're going to allow 20 carrying from the Chatzeros to Bein HaPasim, people are going to come to allow 19 and go so far as to carry from one Chatzer to the other using the area of Bein HaPasim as the conduit, if you will. We turn back to the Gemara. Omar Le Abaye Le Rava, Tanya de Mesaye Aloch, a Tanaic source that would support Rava. So Abai suggests the following source supports you. Chotzer Shirosha Echod Nichnas Lebein HaPasim, a Chotzer courtyard whose one end enters an area of Bein HaPasim, Mutu Letatel Mitocha Lebein HaPasim Lebein HaPasim Letocha. Avoshtayim Oser. If it's a singular Chotzer in the picture like we saw before, illustration 18, that's allowed. If it's like Shtayim, it's like illustration 19, then it would be forbidden. Bamed vamurim shelo irvu. When is there a restriction? It's only if they didn't make an Eruv Chatzeros. Aval irvu mutoran. If, however, they had a possibility of making an Eruv and they did so, like is in illustration 20, then it's mutar to carry from the courtyards to the area of Bein HaPasim. Leimo teve tufto de Ravuna. So with this information in place, could we suggest that this Tanaic source is a repudiation of Rav Huna? Because Rav Huna said, even if they made an Eruv, it's Usur. Omar Loch Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, the Braisa that we just read that says it's Mutter because they made an Eruv, Hosam de Hadron v'Arvon. To appreciate this, you look in illustration 21, and Rashi says, the Hadron v'Arvon, shenifritza b'neim pirtza gedola b'sofa. The wall between the two chatzeros has an additional opening, or a large opening, between them at the end. Shegolui l'kol shirishus achasi. In picture 21, it will be clear to all passers-by that, in fact, the two chatzeros are one entity of residence, being that they made an Eruv. The point being that since the break in the wall between the two chaseros is so clear, the public won't make a mistake. They won't confuse the 21 situation with the 19. It won't come to matir the 19 situation. Bomine Abaye Me Rabba.
We have a new question over here, and
On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Bor Mukov Pasebiros, a well or pit that was surrounded with the Pasebiros, V'yovshu Mayim B'Shabbos, and the water supply dried up on Shabbos. Mal L'Taltel B'Nehem,
can one continue carrying in the area between the Pasen?
So Bor Mine Abaye Mirabo, Yovshu Mayim B'Shabbos Mahu, if Yovshu means the water dried up, in other words, the water supply ended on Shabbos, can you carry between the Pasim? Omale, Rabba answers, basically his answer is no. And he explains, Klum nasis mechitza lo b'shvil mayim. Is it not so that the mechitza, the effectiveness of Pasibiros, is considered effective only because there is water? Mayim ein kan, mechitza ein kan. With the absence of water, so there is no enclosure, there's no legal enclosure. It's true that it's physically still enclosed, but the basis of that enclosure, and we should repeat something that we've mentioned a number of times in the past, generally speaking, an enclosure where the opening is greater than that which is standing is an ineffective enclosure. There's a special allowance for the case of the Pasibiros. The Pasibiros is predicated on the presence of water.
In the absence of that basis, so there is no more validity of such an enclosure. Boi Rovin, Yovshu Mayim B'Shabbos, Ubo'u B'Shabbos. Let us imagine a case, and he says, Mahu, what would be a case if the water, as we said, dried up on Shabbos, but later on Shabbos day, it rained and water accumulated. So water came. What is the din now about carrying in the area between the pasim?
Amale Abaye, Yovshu b'Shabbos lo tibay aloch. You didn't ask about drying out on Shabbos. Deboi minei demaru poshet lidos. Because I already asked from more. More is Rabba, and I, the speaker, is Abaye. I, Abaye, already asked of Rabba that case, Poshet Li means he resolved for me, he answered me that it's forbidden. Bo'u Nami lo tiboy aloch, regarding the new water that arrived on Shabbos, that also shouldn't be a question. That's an example of a mechitza that is made on Shabbos. Now, when we speak about a mechitza, just like we said before, we're talking in legal terms. The enclosure is there, but the basis of the enclosure is the water. So when we speak about the mechitza, we can speak about the coming of the water equals the making of the mechitza taking place on Shabbos. And regarding a mechitza asuya b'Shabbos, v'tanya, we have a Tanaic source that would provide the answer for such a question. So you don't need to ask about it because there is a source. And it says in the source, Kol mechitza asuya b'Shabbos, any mechitza was formed on Shabbos. Now, generally speaking, when we speak about a mechitza formed on Shabbos, so it's talking about a case of someone had put up walls or put up curtains enclosing some area. In this case, the mechitza asuya b'Shabbos is going to be a reference to the coming of the water on Shabbos. Well, a mechitza that's made on Shabbos, bein b'shogeg, bein b'meizid, bein b'oynis, bein b'ratzon, regardless of what the circumstances are, whether it was shogeg, where someone made it unknowingly, that not realizing that it was Shabbos, or he made it deliberately, knowing that it was Shabbos, and he made the mechitzos anyway. Whether it was b'oynis, whether it was beyond anyone's control, or it was b'ratzon, willingly made, shmo mechitza. The mechitza constitutes an effective, valid mechitza, and therefore mutar letaltel. The Gemara challenges this answer or this decision, a legal decision of allowance. Is it not so that Rav Nachman said concerning this source, lo shonu elo lizrok, aval letaltel lo? That when we speak about a mechitza asuya b'Shabbos being considered a mechitza, that's only with regard to a stringency, namely for someone to stand outside of the newly enclosed area, stands in a public thoroughfare and throws an object to the enclosed area. So it's considered a Shabbos violation. to condemn or to make him liable. But letatel, but to carry within an enclosed area, that no. So how can Abaye be telling Ravin that it's a case of mechitzas hasu b'shabbos and mutter? Rav Nachman tells us that wouldn't be allowed. The Gemara says ki itmar de Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's restriction of letatel lo is amazed itmar. That's in a case where the mechitza was made knowing that one shouldn't do such on Shabbos and did it anyway. That's in such a case, so that we won't allow carrying inside, but we will consider it a mechitza to mechayev someone who stands outside of it and throws into such an area. But as far as water coming on Shabbos, that is certainly no more stringent than something happening b'shogeg. And we said that if it happens b'shogeg or b'hoines, it certainly will be all right even for carrying within such mechitzas. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a marking, a diamond with a colored in tip. So before we get to this, the Mivneh heading on the side, we first will read our topic heading. The Nose, Mau Hagdora Hayul Chatis Shel Pasin Shein Ke'ein Pasi Bros Bishus Harabim. What is the halachic category that would help define Pase Bi Pasim? These are the right angle boards that are set up in a public thoroughfare, even if there is no actual pit over there. The Mivneh, the structural note, we have a diamond, as we mentioned. This highlights the name Rebbe Eliezer, and we'll see Rebbe Elazar mentioned here, and a few lines later. And there will be significance in connecting, we'll say, these two statements. And furthermore, another marking that we'll see is a triangle whose position will be altering, indicating that we have a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take structure Gemara. With the point facing upwards, those are kushos, those represent questions, and with it inverted, we will see them as answers. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Elazar, Hazorek Lebein Pase Habiros Chayev. One who throws from a public thoroughfare into an area surrounded by Pase Biros will be guilty of a Shabbos violation. The Gemara says, do I really need Rav Elazar to tell me that? Pshita, that's obvious. So when the Gemara uses the word pshita, it's in effect a question. Why tell me something that is obvious? Pshita, ilav mechitzahi, echi mishtri le lamalos. If the pase biros were not a mechitza, how would it be allowed, how would it be permitted to fill water from the pit, which is a private domain, being that it has a depth of 10 tfachim and a width of 4x4, how would it be permitted to draw water from a pit to the surface, which is a public thoroughfare? Unless, of course, it's the Pasi Baros form an enclosure, making it into a Rishus HaYachid. So, if someone was standing in a Rishus HaYachid and threw into such an air, it's obvious that it would be mutter. It'll be obviously a violation of Shabbos, based on the fact that it's mutter to draw water from the pit to that enclosed area, making it a clear Rishus HaYochid. The Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, the din of Rav Elazar, concerning one who threw from outside the Pasi Biros to the area between them, is necessary Da'ovat Ke'ein Pasi Biros Rishus Rabim. He set up these four corner posts, four right-angle posts in a public thoroughfare, and there is no pit of water whatsoever. V'zorak l'tocha chayav.
There's an illustration, although it's fairly obvious what we're talking about, in the top of page 46, illustration 23. So someone stood from outside that area and threw into between, threw an object to the area between the right angles. So he is guilty of a Shabbos violation. The Gemara asks, "Ha nami pshita." This also is actually obvious.
Ilav de be'alma mechitzahi, if not for the fact that in general, an area enclosed by these passim, by these right angle corners, was not a real mechitza, gabi bor hechi mishtri leila tiltule, how then in the case of a bor actually being there, would it be mutter to carry within such an area? By virtue of the fact that we know that you can carry in the enclosure when there is a pit of water, it shows us that even if the pit were not there, technically speaking, it's considered an enclosure anyway. So once again, what is the point of Rebbe Lozer when what he says seems to be obvious? Loi tzricha, what he says is necessary. Afagav de kobaki bo rabim, even though the public, rabim is the public, baki is penetrates, even though for all practical purposes you've set up what seems to be what we're calling mechitzos, the four corners forming an enclosure, but the public passes right through. So that is the chiddush, that even though the public is passing through, it's nevertheless considered a mechitza. The Gemara asks a question that lasts a number of lines, hence we have a long question marking. Umay komash molon, what is Rebbe Lozer telling me over here? Dolo asu rabim umavatli mechitza, that we say that the public does not come and cancel an enclosure, that even though there's a public cutting through, it doesn't void the enclosure. Rebbe Lozer has already said that. So if the whole point of the Rebbe Lozer above in the diamond is to tell me the point that the Rabbim is not Mevata Mechitza, that too is superfluous or redundant. We have Rebbe Lozer on record already, as we will see very shortly. Disnan. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Im Hoysa Derech Rishus Rabbim Afsikoson, Yisalkenu Litzdodin. Rebbe Yehuda, he, in looking at the Pasei Biros, says that if the Pasei Biros is set up in an area that is currently a public thoroughfare, so you've got to move the pasim off to the side. The Chachomim Omrim Eino Tzor. The Chachomim disagree with Rebbe Lozer and say you can leave them as they are. Rebbe Yochanan and Rebbe Lozer Damri Trevayu. Rebbe Yochanan and Rebbe Lozer, and we're focusing on Rebbe Lozer right now, they both say, Trevayu means they both say, Kan Hodiacha Koichon Shel Mechitzos. Here we are informed by the Chachomim, the opinion of the Chachomim reveals the great strength of Mechitzos, what is what's considered an enclosed area. What do we mean by that? That their great strength is that they form an enclosure and the public does not cancel that enclosure by the fact that they cut through. So the question is asked, what do I need the statement of Rebbe Lozer above in the diamond when we see Rebbe Lozer here in a diamond having said the very basis of what he had was reputed to have said earlier? The Gemara says, E mehosam had, we're going to refer to the upper diamond and the lower diamond for simplicity's sake. Ime hosam, had I had just the lower diamond comment, havamina kanvelo svirole, I would have thought that Rebbe Lozer is acting as a moderator, but not reflecting his personal opinion. Namely, Rebbe Lozer was moderating the Tanaic source and saying, this is where the Chachamim show their opinion about the strength of Mechitzas, but Rebbe Lozer himself doesn't necessarily agree with that. Maybe he would agree with Rebbe Yehuda. Komash Molon kan usvirole. Komash Molon means the upper Rebbe Lozer sort or statement is telling us about this lower Rebbe Lozer statement, the upper statement indicating that Rebbe Lozer himself actually does hold it, and kan, in the source, the Rabbanan show there the strength of Mechitzos, and Rebbe Lozer himself holds from it. How do I know now that Rebbe Lozer holds from it? Because of the upper diamond statement, where Rebbe Lozer wasn't moderating, he was saying his own opinion, that one who throws from a public domain to the area between the Pasei Biros
is chayav. The point being that it's considered a public enclosure, even though the public is cutting through. The Gemara asks, "V'leima ha v'lo boi hach?" So then, if I could figure everything out from the upper diamond statement, so let it be stated, and I don't need the second diamond statement. The Gemara says, "You're right. Chado michlal chaver to itmar." The second diamond was only a derivation from that which. From that which was said explicitly by Reb Elozer in the first diamond. So after we know Reb Elozer saying that Hazorik Ev Lebein Pasig Ros Chayav, I understand how far he goes in recognizing the strength of Mechitzas. The Gemara continues, Mutter Lahakriv Lebe'er V'chulei. The Mishnah had spoken about the inward movement of the Pasei Biros, how close into a bore you can go, and we said that you can move as close to the bore whereby a cow who wants to drink from the bore would be Rosho Verubo within the Pasim. Rosho Verubo means the head and the majority of the body length within the Pasim. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source, and on the side we have a topic heading for this section of Gemara. Adam and Behema, ha'oimei b'rishus rabim, that are standing in a public thoroughfare, mahu lishtos b'rishus hayochid. Can they drink from a private domain? In other words, a person's feet are standing in a public domain. Can they, while standing in a public domain, can they, let's say, bend over into a private domain and drink a cup of water? So we have a source that says, Lo yamod adam b'rishus harab m'vishte b'rishus hayochid. A person should not stand in a public domain and drink from a private domain, or vice versa, b'rishus hayochid v'ishte b'rishus harab m'elim kain machnis roshay v'rubo l'mokum shushoyse. Unless he is able to bend over to the extent that his head and most of his body, we'll say his torso as well, is in the other domain, in other words, where the water is. And because otherwise, there is a fear that while the person is, let's say, he just has bent his head into the other domain, and he's drinking from a cup, so he will straighten himself out, because it's just his head, he'll straighten himself out with the cup in hand and end up taking the cup from the one domain to the other. However, if Roshei Verubar are in that other domain, then we're not fearful of his taking the cup out to where he is. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, V'chein Begas. Similarly, with regard to drinking wine from a wine press, with regards to halachas concerning tithing, the miser tithe, we will not elaborate on this expression, v'chein begas. It becomes the focus of discussion in numerous other gemaras. So for our purposes, we'll leave that aside with just what we explained for now. Now, the Gemara continues, Gabi Adam ha Omar deboy Rosh Avrubo. Regarding man, we just said you need to have Rosh Avrubo in the place where the water is located. Gabi Pora mi bo'inon la Rosh Avrubo oy loy. What about when it comes to a cow? We have an Omid Gemara here that is of I would like to say it's a very elaborate or complicated structure. I hesitate to use the word complicated because that frightens certain people, but it is certainly a very elaborate structure. First of all, let's glance at the topic. The nosei, and the topic's already familiar to you. We've mentioned it, but we'll repeat it. We have it written on the side.
Behema oimedes b'shus harabim v'sheis b'shus hayochid. An animal that's standing in a public domain and is drinking from a private domain. Masai bo'inon roishoi v'rubo. When, under what circumstances do we require the rosha v'ruba to be in the place where the water is? Aleph, nokit lo v'lo nokit mona, a case where the owner is holding the animal, but he is not holding the vessel. And Beis, nokit lo v'nokit mona. He is holding the animal and is holding the vessel.
The Pirush Chai offers illustration 24. Ki tiboy locht echa d'nokit mona v'nokit lo ba'afsor mai. There you have a person holding a vessel and holding the animal by the afsor, the ring that's on its neck.
In other words, holding the animal in place. We'll get into the details, some of the concerns, as we get into the Gemara itself. But by way of overview on the structure of this Gemara, first we note the bow tie and the Roman numeral number 1. Find, by skimming down the page, a second bow tie. And on the side of our Gemara, we've indicated that Roman numerals number 1 and 2 are Shnei Lishonois B'Sheilas HaGemara. There are two versions of the Gemara's question. Note immediately, though, as far as the markings are concerned, when you go to the middle of the page, you'll notice a bracketed section where there's a curlicue brackets. On this daf, we're going to be using three different bracket shapes to denote three different bracketed sections of Gemara. So we'll refer to this type bracket as the curlicue shape. Notice the length of that bracketed section, so that Lashon number 2 is a fairly large section, accounts for a large part of this daf. There is a difference, but as far as the content of the Gemara, there's a great deal of similarity. So once you become familiar with the first half of the Omid, the second half becomes basically almost a type of review. So we saw that on this Omid Gemara, you see two Lishonos. There is a double underline that highlights the expressions nokit lo v'nokit or v'lo nokit mona, where he's holding the animal and not holding the vessel as well. That will be highlighted. Triangles that appear on the omid are featured in the under our mivne heading. These are nisyonos lanos l'sheilas ha-gemara. These are attempts to answer the Gemara's question. Now, what we've done on this Omid is, for the first Lashon of Gemara, we have a triangle with its point facing up. And in order to contrast the second Lashon with the first Lashon, so the point at which the Gemara answers the question, there is also a triangle, but it's inverted. Only to show that we're not dealing with a series of answers per se, but rather it's an answer to the question in the lower half of the page. So it's the Gemara's answer to the second version of the question. So as we see the Gemara unfolding structurally, this omid is divided into two halves. A question is asked concerning Rosh Hashanah, the need for head and majority of animal to be within the location of the water. There are two versions concerning that question, and at each relevant point, the Gemara offers what it feels is an answer. The answers, though, aren't necessarily going to be accepted. We will notice another marking, but let us wait till we get a little further into the more before dealing with more of the structure. So at the second line from the top, we ask, Gabi Pora, mi bo ino la roisha veruba oiloi. Someone is giving his animal to drink, where the water is in a private domain, and the legs of the animal, or some of it, is standing in a public domain. Do we require, like we saw by a man just before, do we require Rosh of Aruba of the animal to be in the private domain, assuming that it's it was walking on a public in a public domain till it got to where the water is in a private domain? The Gemara continues, Kol hecho deka nokit mona velo nokit law, any case where the owner is holding the cup from which the animal is drinking, like we saw in illustration 24, and he's not holding the animal as well, lo tiboya loch deboy rosh v'rubo milagav. There is no question under those circumstances that we require the head and the majority of the animal to be within. Milagav means inside, in the Rishus HaYochid. The reason for that is that the if he's not holding the animal, and it, let's say it tries to swerve away, so he might forget himself and end up taking the kli, carrying the vessel that he's giving the animal to drink from, he might end up carrying it outside, being that there's just the head inside the Rishus HaYochid. Is very short notice, so to speak. If the animal starts to turn its head, he'll end up carrying the vessel outside of the enclosed area. So, under such circumstances, as is in illustration 24, where it's nokit mona velo nokit lo, mona is the vessel, and he's not holding the animal in place, then it's clear that you need to have Rosh of Aruba, because he has no control over the animal. And the fear of him, of the animal moving and him carrying the vessel out following the animal, is very great. Ki tiboya loch, hecho de nokit mona venokit lo mai. Where he is holding the animal and the vessel as well. We should just correct ourselves. Illustration 24 shows us where he's holding both. So that in we made reference before to illustration 24 erroneously, that we didn't see illustrated. But we see this case, where his nokit mona v'nokit law is illustration 24. In such a case, do we need also to have Rosh of Aruba to be in the enclosed area? Omar le tenisua. So the question had been asked by whoever the we don't see names here, but the one to whom the question was directed answers. He says, "Learn it from the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis." Ubelvach tehaporo roisha v'ruba mibifnim v'shoisa. The case of the pase biros, where outside of the enclosed area it's a rishus harabim, the enclosed area is rishus hayochid, and the Mishnah is insistent on roisha v'ruba being within the pase biros. My lav, what must be the circumstances? Denokit lo v'nokit mona. Where he's holding the animal as well as the vessel, and still we have the additional requirement of Rosh of Aruba. The Gemara rejects Loi. Dinokit mona velo nokit lo. The Mishnah is talking about a case where he's holding the vessel and not holding the animal, and that's why we need Rosh of Aruba. But if he were holding the animal as well, we wouldn't need Rosh Veruba. At this point in the Gemara, it's my opinion that a very dramatic structural phenomenon takes place. We've tried to account for this by the angular bracket that you see, and note the length of this. There's a very long vertical dotted line. It's very, very long. It goes way down the Omid. You'll notice a triangle around 8-9 lines up from the bottom, and that's where this bracketed section ends. Why have we marked off the Gemara like this? So let's look at the side. We have a starred note. So, Graham Lashem Diluk, these brackets are here for skipping purposes. Kedei Lishma Retzef HaNesyonos LaHoshiv Al HaSheela Gabi Pora Mi Bo'inon Roisha Veruba. Because, believe it or not, what we're trying to do here is to maintain the series aspect of attempted answers to the question of Roisha Veruba. We attempted an answer in the most recent triangle, but the Gemara rejected that. The Gemara wanted to conclude that even in the case of Nokit Lov and Nokit Mona, you have to have Rosh Veruba. And the Gemara says no. In the case of Nokit, the source that was cited is an example of Nokit Mona velo Nokit Lov. But you noticed above, where we had double underlined the phrases, the number two was our question. What is the din of Nokit Mona vin Nokit La? Was that answered? No. It wasn't answered by the first triangle. The Gemara will attempt again to answer the question, but only if you skip down to the point in the Gemara after the brackets. You'll notice we have a numbering system to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. There you see triangle number two. So, what are we demonstrating? The Gemara asked the question, Nokit Mona v'Nokit Law. The Gemara, triangle number one, attempted an answer. The answer was rejected. After the bracket of this section, attempt number two, where the Gemara says, Toshma, Gomol, Sheroshiru, Mifnim, Oifsinoshim, Mifnim, etc. We'll wait, of course, till we get there for the details. That's what we call the superstructure of this Gemara. Within the brackets, the Gemara is going to ask on that which we just said before the brackets. But technically speaking, it becomes a preoccupation with details. So as far as the overview of the Gemara, it is as we showed you. Triangle number one was an attempt. The attempt was rejected. Later on the Gemara, there will be attempt number two. The question concerning Nokit Mona v'Nokit Law, do you need Rosh Veruba or not? Now, as we continue with the Gemara in the angular brackets, you notice a volcano shape, and if you look under our Mivneh heading on the side, this is a ma'akab, because this shape will appear in two different directions as we go on in the Gemara. There's quite a bit of back and forth style discussion. So the narrow part of the volcano facing up represents kushyos, questions, and when inverted, tshuvos, responses. So now, let's continue with the Gemara in the angular brackets. Actually, but even before we do that, just to give more flavor of the structure of the Gemara, remember we said there was a question, was a Nokit Mona v'Nokit Law. We saw the triangle, number one, as an attempt to answer that. If you skip for a moment to the Iko di Amri, that's the bow tie, Roman numeral number two, halfway down the page, the Gemara will say Iko di Amri, Gabi Odom ha ko amrino de sagi le barosha vubo. Regarding a person in one domain and he's drinking from another domain, we said it's enough that the person's rosh of urubo is in the same place that he is drinking from. Gabi pora, with regard to a cow, mi sagi lo barosh of urubo lo. Is rosh urubo enough to serve as leniency or permission? And the Gemara there too, we use the double underline to highlight the two cases. Hecha de nokit mona v'nokit la lo tivayalach, where he is holding the animal and the vessel is not a question. Notice the difference between lashon number two and the first lashon. The case of nokit mona v'nokit la is in lashon number two, not a question. The sagi la b'roshubu. Roshubu will certainly be enough. Elokiti boyalach, the question will come up, denokit mona veloy nokit lo mai. If he's holding just the vessel and not holding the animal, can we rely on Rosh Avaruba? Is that enough? And Omar le Tanisua, the Gemara will then try to answer that, and that answer will also be rejected. On the first wide line of the Gemara, there's another type of angular brackets that appears that is also of some length. We have a bracket length indicator for that section. And in fact, the whole section of Gemara, it's almost 10 lines of Gemara, will be repeat of what we see above. Now, that having been said, we go back to the Gemara where the angular brackets at the end of the line, we raise a question. V'chi nokit mona v'lo nokit lo mishori? We just got finished saying that the source, the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Beis, was talking about a case of an animal that stuck its head between the pasibiros. The owner is holding the vessel. He's not holding the animal, and we said that under those circumstances, nokit mona v'lo nokit lo, rosho v'ruba is necessary. Here the Gemara is asking, is it even allowed? Is one allowed to hold the vessel in the pase biros situation? There's a Rashi, just a couple lines up with a little star to help you get to it quickly. V'chi lo nokit lo mi shari le'echoiz hakli b'pasi biros. And if he's not holding the animal, is it mutter to hold the vessel in the pasi biros? V'afagav da'asuyim ketiknon shapor roshiv ruba b'fnim. Even if everything is proper, that the animal is, its head and majority is inside, is that mutter to hold the vessel? V'hotanya, we continue reading in the Gemara. We have a source from Daf Chof Aleph Omid Aleph. Lo yimali odo mayim v'yitein b'shabes lefnei behemto. Avo memale hu v'shofech v'hi shoysume aleha. Now, we are to understand the source for right now as one is not allowed to fill water in a vessel, hold the vessel in his hand while the animal is drinking. So how can you say that the case of pasibiros is nokit monav and lo nokit law when this source says one is not allowed to do that? Let's take a look at the Rashi. Lo yimali odo mayim v'yitein lefnei behemto v'yechoz akli biyodo v'od shihi shoysa. And hold the vessel while the animal is drinking. Later on, this brisa will appear in the later in the perek. It will appear on Daf Chof Aleph regarding the pasibiros case. It's clearly speaking about a case where the owner is not holding the animal. If he were holding the animal, and even so, it would be usur. So, lama utzichu rosh v'ruba b'fnim. Why does the Mishnah make any reference to rosh v'ruba being within? In other words, if you're saying you need to have rosh v'ruba, it means you're setting up some situation that something will be allowed. Ela pshita b'delo nokit law. So, therefore, it has to be a case of lo nokit law, where he's not holding the animal. And that's why there will be a prohibition, even if it's Rosh HaVeruba B'fnim. Umasnisin Deshari, the Mishnah that allows when it's Rosh HaVeruba, it's B'dinokit Lo V'katoni Rosh HaVeruba B'fnim. He's holding the animal as well. So let us just try to review and hopefully simplify things. Right before the angular brackets, the Gemara answered that, or rejected the Gemara's answer, and by saying that the Mishnah was speaking about a case of nokit mona v'lo nokit lo. Here we have a source that indicates nokit mona v'lo nokit lo would be osur. The Gemara responds to that, ha itmar ala, omar abai. Here we have the inverted triangle, in it, hopefully enabling it to follow the give and take. showing that this last objection is not an objection. Abaye said concerning that, Hocha be'evus oimed b'shus harabim, gavoy asorot tfochim, v'roichav arba, v'roish she'echod nichnas lebein apasim. Abaye tells us that the case featured in this most recent Tanaic source is not talking about a standard passe biros, but rather it's what you see illustrated in 26. So you look in your Pirush Chai at illustration 26. It's talking about a very, very specific case, so that if you try to follow the give and take of the Gemara, this most recent inverted volcano shows us that what the Gemara had said right before the angular brackets remains intact, leaving our original question unanswered. At this point, then, we focus in on 26, and this will keep us busy till the end of the first Lashon. So that here we're kind of like getting off the topic, we're getting onto a new internal topic of discussion. 26, that's illustration 26. Illustration 26 represents a very different halachic case than the standard situation of an animal like in 25. Totally different case. So what are we discussing in illustration 26? So we read a couple lines of Gemara. Let's read them again. Hocha be'evus. Evus is a feeding trough. Ha'oimi b'shus rabim. It's positioned in a public thoroughfare. However, this evus itself has the dimensions of a private domain. It's govo asor tfochim. It's 10 tfochim of height. V'rochav arba. It's 4 tfochim across. V'roishe chod nichlus bein apasim. And one end of it extends to an area between the pasim,
as you can see clearly illustrated.
You can see the animal is at the other end. In a case like this, whereas this is the case that the framed source was addressing, and in the framed source it said, don't fill up a vessel and bring it to the animal, but rather, all you can do is fill up the vessel between Bein HaPasim and spill it into the feeding trough at that end, that you, while you're still Bein HaPasim, and the animal will drink. Now, what were you banning here? What were you forbidding? It said at the beginning of the framed source, reading the words from six lines above, Lo Yamale Odom Mayim. A person should not fill up a vessel while between the pasibiros. Pasibiros is a rishus hayochid. He shouldn't fill up the vessel and bring the vessel to the animal. How in the world would he bring the vessel to the animal? Isn't that obviously forbidden? So the answer to that is it's not so obvious, because you know what he's going to do? He's going to fill up the vessel while standing between the pasibiros and hold the vessel over the avus. It's true the man is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, but one is allowed, technically speaking, to carry something over a Rishus HaYochid, so that if he was taking the vessel from between the Pasi Biros while holding the vessel over the avus, he hasn't done anything wrong, technically speaking, and yet we are forbidding that situation. Well, why are we forbidding doing that? Why are we saying to the person, just fill up the vessel and pour it immediately into the feeding trough and the water will flow over to the animal? Why do we not allow the person to walk to the animal's face with the vessel? The Gemara explains, Gezerah, now the use of the diamond here is simply to show the balance, is to show the different gezeros. These are rabbinic prohibitions that the Gemara imposes. We'll see them over here, and we'll see them repeated in the second Lashon of the Gemara later. So what is the reason that he cannot hold the vessel over the feeding trough and bring it to the animal? Gezerah, the Gemara says, Gezerah, Dilmo, Chozi, Le'evus, the mekalkel, the person might notice that the avus has a notch in it or a crack in it, and you can see such a thing on the illustration. V'osi liskune, and it'll come to repair it. V'doro le ledavlo bahadei, and it'll carry the pail with him. V'komapik mirushus hayochid lirushus harabim, and he'll end up carrying it from the rishus hayochid, from the feeding trough, to where he is. So that we don't want to get started with a problem over here. We don't want to let the person, the owner, take the vessel, fill it up with water, carry it along above the feeding trough. His intention, obviously, at that point is to bring it to the animal, but in the middle of things, he might notice a crack in the feeding trough, and he'll forget himself, and he'll go to the crack and put the pail down on the street in the Rishus HaRabim, thereby violating going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So how do we avoid all of that? We say, listen, don't even start carrying the vessel. Stay within the Pasi Biros and just spill the water into the feeding trough from that point. The Gemara asks the question, you just said that we're making a gezerah. Gezerah is a rabbinic restriction, imposing a rabbinic restriction. By rule of thumb, we impose rabbinic restrictions in order to guard against what we call a worst case scenario, where it would be a Torah level violation. What's the rabbinic restriction we just mentioned? We said just pour the water directly into the trough. Don't carry it over the avus. Don't carry it over the trough, because you might come to this worst case situation. The Gemara is going to ask a question. You can see it lasts a number of lines. What you think is a worst case situation is itself not even an Isur d'oraisa. Being that what we thought was the worst case scenario, that which we saw in the diamond, we thought was an Isur d'oraisa, is not really an Isur d'oraisa. You'll ask, what do you mean it's not an Isur d'oraisa? Is it going from the feeding trough to the street? That's clearly an Isur d'oraisa. Feeding trough is Rishus HaYochid, street is Rishus HaRabim. Aha, but when he initially picked up the vessel, he had no intention of taking it from a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. The original Akira, the original picking up of the vessel, was done with allowed purposes, with innocent intent. Therefore, when something on Shabbos is done without planning, without intent, that itself is called, it's not a meleches, it's lacking the definition of a planned activity, of a meleches machsheves. And as such, the violation or the scenario featured in the most recent diamond is itself only a rabbinic level violation. Being that that's a rabbinic level violation, we wouldn't impose an additional rabbinic restriction, namely insisting that he pours the water directly into the feeding trough, because of coming to that diamonded scenario, when the diamonded scenario itself does not constitute a Torah level violation. Now, let's read this in the Gemara. Something like this, namely that which we explained in the diamond case, would that be a Torah violation? The Omer Rav Safra, Omer Rav Yami, Omer Rav Yochanan, Hamefane Chafotzov Mizovis Lezovis. So Rav Safra says over in the name of Rav Yochanan that one who, in the course of Shabbos, is carrying, picks up a chafetz, picks up an article, an object in his house, with the intent of carrying it from one corner of his house to another corner of his house, and it was completely within his house. And then in the middle of his carrying, he was picking up, let's say, a chair from one corner of his living room with the intention of putting it in the opposite corner of his living room. But in the course of walking with the chair, he changes his mind and walks outside. Potter. He's exempt from a Torah level violation. The original Akira, the original picking up of the chair, was not with the intention of carrying it outside. Likewise with our feeding trough story, when he picked up the vessel from the Pasibiros, he had no intention of putting it down in the Rishus HaRabim. So if that be the case, why can't a person take the vessel from the pasibiros and carry it over the feeding trough directly to the animal? What problem is there involved in that? What are you worried about? Elo, Zimnin, the diamond indicates the new gezeira. We're explaining, once again, we're explaining why that framed source above is discussing the scenario in picture 26, and again, it has nothing to do with our original issue. So what's the problem? Elo zimnin de mesakein lei. We'll talk about this person, but it's a story in parts. In other words, the story continues, so to speak. The person who had originally picked up the vessel to feed his animal noticed a crack and in fact put the vessel down in the Rishus HaRabim. However, what we're afraid of is the continuation of that story. Zimnin de mesakein lei, he might finish his repair, the Hodar Ma'ayel lei, and then pick up the vessel from the road, from the street, and put it over the feeding trough, and bring it back to wherever, into the Pasibiros, the Komayel Mirshus HaRabim, Mirshus HaYochid. And there, he would be in violation of the Isser of Hachnosa, going from the public thoroughfare to the private domain. And in such a case, he might forget himself, or forget that it's Shabbos, or he'll forget himself, but he in that case, he picked up the vessel from the street with the intent of bringing it into a private domain, back to where it was. So since this story could take place, we tell a person at the outset, if you're drawing water from a pasibiros and the animal is where it is, like you see in illustration 26, just pour the water directly into the avus that's between the pasibiros and don't carry it to the animal, because if you carry it to the animal, we're afraid you might notice a crack in the feeding trough and forget yourself and put the vessel in the street, and then when you're finished repairing it, you'll take the vessel, pick it up from the street, and bring it back to a private domain. I hope it's clear, though, that this entire section of Gemara, from beginning with the angular brackets till this point, we were not dealing with our original question anymore. We originally asked a question concerning Nokit Mona v'Nokit Law, animal is in Rishus HaRabim, and it's drinking from Rishus HaYochid, do you need Rosho v'Rubo? We had a source where the triangle point with the point facing up was brought in to say, it seems that you need to have Rosh over Ruba, and then the Gemara says, no, you don't need to have Rosh over Ruba, because the Mishnah was talking about a case of Nokit Mona v'lo Nokit La. He was holding only the vessel. At that point, the Gemara raised, can you really say that? And it raised the question, but it got off to a different picture altogether, as we tried to illustrate. With the hope that the Gemara is fairly clear till now, our hope is now that it'll be even much easier, because we have a second version that will be using basically all of the information that we've learned already. And at one point in the Gemara, a little bit later, you'll see the Gemara becomes entirely repetitive. So now we're at the second bow tie. Iko di Amri, Gabi Odom, Ho Carmino de Sagi Le Barosha Rubo. A person standing in one domain, drinking from another domain. We said it's enough when you're dealing with a person that Rosha Rubo is where the water is. Gabi Pora, regarding a cow, Mi Sagi La Barosha Rubo Oiloi. Is Rosha Rubo enough? Or maybe not. Hecha de Nokit Mona Venokit La Lo Tiboy Aloch. Where the owner is holding the vessel and holding the animal as well, there is no question, Desagi lo Barosha Veruba, that Rosha Veruba will be enough. We have a double star and a note to look at Rashi, so you'll see the Rashi right under the Gemara text. Lo tiboy aloch Desagi Rosha Veruba, deha masnisen hi, bedenokit mona, our Mishnah, which speaks about Rosh Avruba, is a case where he is holding the vessel. Dilav denokit mono kamei, if he weren't holding the vessel, loma hitzrichu Rosh Avruba v'fnim. Aval homisaf galon, didilmo masnisin, bidenokit lohu. It could be that the Mishnah is talking about where he is also holding the animal. So our Gemara says that where he is holding the vessel and holding the animal, there is no question that Rosh Avruba would be enough. Elo, the Gemara continues, Elo ki tiboy aloch denokit mona v'loy nokit lo mai, where the owner is holding the vessel and not holding the animal. Is that going to be mutter if you have Rosh Avruba or not? Omar lei tenisua. Now, before we go on, just for the sake of review, Nokit Mona Velo Nokit Law, in our previous Lashon, the Gemara pointed out that if it were Nokit Mona Velo Nokit Law, then Rosh Avruba would be effective. That was what the Gemara had concluded right before the angular brackets above. That issue of Nokit Mona Velo Nokit Law is what we are asking about right now in this second version. So Omar Lay, the one who was asked the question, responds, Tanisua, why not derive your answer from the following source? Our Mishnah, Ubilvach Te Poro Roshiv Ruba Mibifnim Vishoisa. My Lav, the Nokit Mona Velo Nokit Law. Is it not so that the Mishnah that speaks about Rosh Avruba is talking about our question? He's holding the vessel and he's not holding the animal, and we see that Rosh Avruba is effective. It works. You're allowed. Loi? That's not the case. Denokit mona, v'nokit la. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, in addition to holding the vessel, he is also holding the animal in place. And that's why Rosh Avruba is works. However, if he weren't holding the animal, just holding the vessel, I don't know. I don't know if we could allow it based on Rosh Avruba. Maybe it's not enough. At this point, we have a new bracket. It's the bracket length indicator, you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, three-sided bracket, angular bracket. It continues quite a few lines, and on the side we have the following notes. So Grayim Elu Marim She'ad Kan Iker Divrei Hadiyun Bo'iko Di'amri B'Sheila Sherosh Veruba. That as far as the second lashon of the Gemara, the essential or the main part of the discussion revolving around the issue of Rosh Veruba has ended. In other words, we asked about Nokit Mona Velo Nokit Law. Is Rosh Avruba enough? And at this point in the Gemara, we're saying, no, it might very well be it's not enough. And as far as this Mishnah that says Rosh Avruba is enough, that's because in addition to holding the vessel, he's also holding the animal. But as far as Nokit Mona Velo Nokit Law, that we don't see an answer to that. If you skip this bracketed section, you come to the next triangle, where the Gemara will attempt to answer the question once again concerning the Rosh HaVerubah situation. Now, the note continues and says, as we said already, Achrei HaSegrayim, HaGemara Mamshicha Lodun B'Sheilo Hanal. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will pick up on this. Now, that having been said, we continue in the bracketed section. V'hachi nami mistabra. This answer is also most likely, namely that the Mishnah is talking about Nokit Mona V'Nokit La. That's most likely. The e nokit mona velo nokit law, for if it were a case of holding the vessel and not holding the animal, mishori, would that be allowed? Would it be allowed in the first place to hold a vessel without holding the animal? V'artanya, we have a source that says, lo yimali odo mayim v'yitein lifnei behemto, avo mimali v'shofek v'hi shosu me'aleho. You're not allowed to fill up a vessel within a pasi biros and hold the vessel, giving it to the animal, feeding the animal. So you see that holding a vessel without holding the animal is forbidden. So in order to justify the Mishnah, it must have been a case of holding the vessel and holding the animal. But once again, the Gemara does what we did above, that to try to base the answer on this brisa of Lo Yamali Odom, you can't do that, because the case of Lo Yamali Odom is not talking about our scenario. And using the illustrations of the Pirush Chai, we are dealing with situation illustrated 25, and here what was just said by the Gemara to try to, let's say, justify our answer is talking about a different case. It's talking about illustration 26. And at this point in the Gemara, it's complete repeat. So we are not going to explain everything word by word again. We've already explained it above. And we have a star indicating that Mikan, you notice in a comment on the side, Mikan ad sofa sograim mahalach zehe leloshen rishon. From here to the end of the bracketed section, it's exactly the same as above. Notice, just like above, we have two diamonds regarding the gzeros. Same thing over here. We have the two diamonds in place. So the Gemara says, ha itmar alah omar Abaye. Is it not so, however, that Abaye commented on this brisa of Lo Yamali Odom, Hocha be'evus ha'oimed b'shus ha'rabim gavoa asoro tfochim v'roichav arbo'o v'roishin nichnas lebein apasim. Illustration 26, as we said, the zimnin v'chozile le'evus de mekakel. He might notice the a chip or a crack in the avos. Also, the skune v'dorile the davla b'hadei, and end up carrying the davla's the pail with him. But kolmapik mishus hayochel mishus harabim, bringing the pail from the private domain as is represented by the avos to the street where he is standing. The Gemara asks, v'chiyai gavna mimachayev? Would that itself be a Shabbos, a Torah level violation that onto which we would impose an additional rabbinic restriction? The Ha Amar of Safra, Amar of Ami, Amar of Yochanan, Hamefane Chafotz of Mizavis Lizavis, the Nimla Chaleim Vehotzion, Potter, Shlohoisa Akira Rishona, Shlohoisa Akira Misha Rishona Lekach. That what we saw in diamond, in the previous diamond itself, wouldn't be a Shabbos level violation, because his picking up of the of pail in the from the Bein HaPasim, his original picking up of the pail was not with intention to put it in the street. Ella, but what still could be the problem in illustration 26 is in the Misakinle. It might be after he fixes that crack, he'll then bring the pail back in, and then he'll be guilty of a real Torah level violation of carrying from a public domain to a private domain. The triangle, this is triangle number 2, Toshma. Now, what are we trying to bring an answer to? So we have to review what the question was. This would bring our attention back to the upper part of the page, We had some double underlining. The number two there was denokit mona venokit law. Let's say a person is holding the vessel and holding the animal. What is the story with regard to Rosh Avarubo? Do we need Rosh Avarubo? Toshma gomol. Now here we have illustration 27. Gomol sherosh Avarubo mibifnim. The camel is head and majority is within the Bein HaPasim. Oivsin oisoi mibifnim. Oivsin is a method of feeding or stuffing food into the camel. The issue of oivsin was discussed at the end of Masechah Shabbos. It's you're like making a feeding trough amount of food inside its stomach. So that's it was stuffing food into the camel. V'ha ivus. Ivus here is the verb of the feeding process. For ivus, or it's a noun, but it's the gerund, if you will, the verb form of feeding. That process of feeding, kaman denokit mono venokit lo damya. That is parallel to holding the vessel and holding the animal as well. In other words, in order to accomplish ivus, you'd have to be holding the animal as well. And even though you're nokit mona v'nokit law, which was the subject of our original question, we still require Rosh Avarubo as the source indicates. The Gemara rejects. Omar Rav Acha ba Rav Huna Omar Rav Sheshes. Shiny Gomol. The case of the camel is different. Hoyl v'tzavoroi oroich. Since the camel is characterized by a very long neck, there we insist on Rosho Verubo being inside as well. Because just imagine you don't have Rosho Verubo inside and it has this very long neck. Once it makes it a turn, you'll be outside if you're holding the food and the animal makes a turn, you'll end up carrying the food following its head outside. The Rashi, the second line from the bottom, says Tzavor Oruch, the Af Al Gav, the Roiv Gufoi. Or there's another reading here, is the Lav, the Roiv Gufo, Mibifnim. If you wouldn't have the majority of the body inside, Im Yit Kefenu, the Akim Tzavoro, if the animal overpowers the owner and bends its neck, Yagia Ad Rosh Sarabim. And the note on the side says, V'ahochi boy rosho verubo, afagav de nokit law. Because of the unique anatomical structure of the camel, we require there to have rosho verubo bifnim. Let's continue in the Gemara. Toshma. This is triangle number 3. Behemo shirosh verubo bifnim. Oivsin oisah mi bifnim. Very similar to what we saw in source number 2, but here there's no mention of a camel. So that the deflection we had just a moment ago about the long neck would seemingly not apply. A cow, a behemo, then would be another kind of animal, like a cow. Rosh avruba inside the pasibiros. Oivsin oisah, we stuff it mi bifnim. For ivus, kemand enokit mona venokit lo damya, the process of stuffing it that we call ivus is like the case of nokit mona and nokit lo. You have to be holding the animal as well as the food you're stuffing into it. The holding of the food would be parallel to the holding of the vessel in the case before. The koboinon rosh avruba, and the source makes such a requirement. The Gemara rejects this. My behemo nami dekotoni gomol. The behemo featured in this most recent source is really a camel. The Gemara asks, "Votanya behemo, votanya gomol." But there's another source that makes reference to gomol, and this talks about behemo. So you wouldn't talk about the same thing twice. The Gemara says, "Midi gabi hadodi tanya." Are these two sources taught together?
if they were taught together as part of one source, and you made mention of a gomol, and later in the same source you make mention of a behemol, then we say that behemol is not a reference to gomol, because gomol was already mentioned. However, if they're two separate Tanaic sources, both are in fact referring to a gomol. In one source it says gomol explicitly, in the other source it uses the word behemol, but a reference to a camel. And there's no problem of, we'll say, of redundancy, because they're not in the same source. Tanyo nami hochi. We have a support to this. The restriction applies only to a camel because of its long neck. But as far as other animals, we don't have the same level of concern, and therefore Rosho Verubo, if you're Nokit Law and Nokit Mono, might very well be sufficient. On second thought, it might very well be that only in the case of the Gomol will someone say that you need to have Rosho Verubo, even though you're Nokit Law and Nokit Mono, because of Savor Oruch, and Rebbe Lozer on that is stringent. However, with regard to a cow who doesn't have Savor Oroch, it could very well be that if it's Nokit Mona of a Nokit Law, you don't necessarily have to have Rosh over Rubo. The topic heading that we have for this new piece of Gemara is on the side where the Nosei appears. Lemi Uter Pase Biros. For whom was the heter of Pase Biros stated? The Gemara. Omer of Yitzchok bar Ado lo hutru pasi biros ela oile regolim bilvad. The whole institution of pasi biros was said for people who are coming to the three time a year pilgrimage of the Yomim Tovim. We call Elias Aregel, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis. Then that will allow people to draw from a pit while in a public thoroughfare with this rather flimsy type enclosure. The Gemara asks, "Va'atanya lo hutru pasi biros ela legabi behemo bilvad." A moment ago, Rav Yitzchok said it's a heter, it's allowed for the people coming on Elias Regel. Here it says it's a heter only for animals. By saying you have a heter for people, it means people can draw water from the pit up to the surface and drink at the surface from the water they just drew. Here it says that there's no heter for that. You have heter for drawing the water to feed, to give an animal to drink, and that's it. The Gemara says, my behemo. The word behemo here is behemas ole regolim. In fact, the reference to ole regolim wasn't a reference to people at all in the first place. The heter is only for the animals of the ole regolim. Aval adam, but as far as the person himself is concerned, and actually before we get to that, let's just hope it's clear that we resolved the questions. Namely that Reb Yitzchok said there was a heter for Ole Regolim. This source is not a question. The source says there's a heter for Behema Bilvad. It means the Behema of the Ole Regolim. And that's what Reb Yitzchok was talking about. For the Behema of the Ole Regolim, we have such a heter to draw the water from the pit to the surface and give the animal to drink. Aval Adam. But as far as a person himself is concerned, the Gemara continues at the top of Chof Aleph Omed Aleph. Metapes v'oile, metapes v'yoreid. He is expected to scale the pit, go into the pit and lower himself to get his drink, and then scale the pit upwards and to get out. But so the Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? And we have a question, you can see it lasts four lines. Are you telling me that when it comes to people, then they have to go into the pit? The Omer of Yitzchok, Omer of Yudah, Omer of Shmuel, lo hutru pasi biros elber mayim chayim bilvad. The heter, the allowance of pasi biros, is for a live spring, only for a live spring. V'ila behema, if the heter is only for behemos, mali chayim, mali mechunasim, what difference does it make the nature of the water, the kind of water, whether it's gathered water or it's a live spring?
and therefore it would seem that the heter, since we're limiting it to live spring water, it would seem that it's a heter that does apply to people. The Gemara says no. Bo'inon midi dechazi l'adam. We require water that is fit for human consumption, as opposed to stagnant pit water, which would not be fit. Mayim chayim is fit. However, that creates a certain standard. What kind of water? But it's not a water. It's not water, or it's not a heter. Possibly, it's not a heter for people themselves. The Rashi explains a little bit more on the second line from the top. Midi dechazi l'adam. Says kevon de mayim mashvi lahu mechitza, since it's the water that makes the pasi bros into what they are, into an enclosure. Bo'inon mayim chashuvim, we require water of importance, water that even a person would drink from. However, the heter of drawing the water from the pit to the surface, which is in effect a reshus harabim, but has this flimsy enclosure, that's only if the water is going to be used for an animal to drink from. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.